It's an honor today to speak a few words from the Word of God. I'm delighted that Steve and Tammy Butler could be here today. It's an honor to meet them. You know them well, much better than I do, but he and I had an hour and a half conversation yesterday, just getting acquainted with each other here. And you're supposed to preach somewhere else today, but that didn't work out, and I'm so glad you chose to be with us today in the house of the Lord. We've got a fine director of missions. I'll put him up against any DOM. That's short for, that don't mean dumb, that means director of missions, against any in the state of Kentucky. And we are blessed that God sent him and Tammy to us. Our passage of scripture for today is John chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 1 to 10. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Now, if you will recall, we have, as we go through the Gospel of John, all the way through Easter, from Advent to Easter, you will recall that there are seven I am sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John. There are seven signs that Jesus performs in the Gospel of John, each one pointing to the truth that he is the Son of God and glorifies Christ. Today, I want to go back to last Sunday. We looked at one of those signs, the first one, the wedding in Cana. And I had fun preaching yesterday. I hope you enjoyed being here as well. But today, we want to look at another one of those I am sayings of Jesus. And the I am saying is about him being the door. Another I am saying of Jesus is that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And today, in our Southern Baptist churches, we are remembering the sanctity of human life. So I want to put that concept together today as we look at Jesus' words about I am the door. He is truly the door to life. He is the only door to life, not a door to life. Life worth living, life that we can celebrate. Celebrate not only in the now, but in eternity as well. And so the title of today's message is simply, Celebrate Life. This is truly the good life. You hear people talking about, I want to live the good life. Well, we're going to look at the scriptures as Jesus talks about what the good life is. The life that's worth celebrating. Do you have your Bible with you? If you do, hold it up. Hold that Word of God up, electronic or hard copy, either one. Great, good to see those Bibles out there. Remember to always hold your Bible up here so that the authority of God's Word is always over us. And hold your Bible near so that you can always grab a hold of it and hold the Bible here in your heart that you may not sin against God, the Scripture says. Jesus says in verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you. Now, when he says truly, truly, King James Version says verily, verily, it's a Hebrew word pronounced amen. And in Baptist, we say amen. So I want to hear some amens today, okay, as we go along. Amen, amen, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, the second time. You ever heard anybody say to you, if you hear it in stereo, pay attention? Pay attention. Verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who became before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out and find pasture. That's the good life. That's the life worth celebrating. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father in heaven, we pray that the Holy Spirit of your kingdom in this world will reign in this worship service. Hide this preacher behind the stammering tongue and the sacredness of this pulpit, and may we hear and see and be thoughtful that Jesus is our Savior and Lord only. Father, we thank you that your word leads us into life everlasting and a life worth celebrating. And Lord, you be praised by all that's said and done by this stammering preacher. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard that amen. Amen. All right, let's look at the photo I brought with me today. Well, there are two 13-year-old girls down there in Kentwood, Louisiana. The one on the right is my brother's daughter. My brother was a pastor in Kentwood, Louisiana. And that's her. Her name is Joy. And the kid on the left, another 13-year-old, can anybody guess who the one is on the left? I just gave you the hint, from Kentwood, Louisiana. Both are celebrities. The one on the right is a celebrity in my heart, mine. She's my niece. She's a member of my family. She's my brother's daughter. She's got two kids. One of them is going to college right now in Lafayette, Louisiana. Somebody said Lafayette the other day. If you're redneck like me from North Louisiana, it's Lafayette, and if you're Cajun, it's Lafayette. She's gone on not only to be a nurse, but be a nurse practitioner. And she's raising her kids to be godly kids. In my heart, she is a true celebrity and is living a life worth celebrating. Now, if you figured out who the 13-year-old is on the left, raise your hand. The one in the back. Anybody else figured it out? Really? It's Britney Spears. Britney Spears. You know, when you're a teenager, there's a lot of doors that open up to you. And some of those doors will lead you into what the world calls a good life. But it's not the good life at all. It's a life of sorrow and destruction, and it's dangerous. It'll kill you. It'll take away your innocence. It'll take away your dreams and your hopes. And there really is a Satan behind that door who wants to kill and steal and destroy. But Jesus offers another door. And those who are walking through that door, he said, we will go in and out many other doors in our life. And he'll be with us. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. In the next verse, he said, I am the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd in Psalm 23. I shall not what? Want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's what John means when he talks about going in and out other doors as you go down that path of life, because you've chosen the door that Jesus has led you through. I'll say most of you here today have already chosen that door. We're going to talk about the deception and the dangers of going through the wrong door, but we're also going to talk about going through the door that celebrates the good life. Let's go to our message outline this morning. The first door that I mentioned is at the first part of verse 10. Verse 10 has two parts, these two doors in it. Jesus said the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is the door of destruction Satan, who is behind that door and tempting you through that door, is leading you to a life of total destruction. He will never be happy until you are killed, destroyed, and blame you and shame you. That's what Satan is up to in your life. The image that Jesus used to describe Satan is the word thief. A thief never knocks on your door and says, "Hey, I'm about to come in and I'm about to steal something from your house." I had one that came into our home in the middle of the day while Linda and I were not there. He came through the kitchen window. He came into the kitchen. I had a dog at my house I thought was a guard dog or a watch dog. But as the thief was going out with my flat screen TV and some jewelry that I had bought, no, my wife had bought for me, actually, our 10th anniversary ring, my watchdog just watched him go out the door. I want to share with you three deceptive lies that Satan uses today to tease people and lure, like fishing bait, to lure people into this life that's called the worldly good life. We call these people celebrities. Celebrate? Celebrities? Is this really where you want to go? Satan uses the lure of saying, "You know, I just want to be happy in life." And God is saying to you, "I want you to be holy." And if you're truly holy and find holiness in Christ, you'll never run out of joy. But people say, "I just want to be happy. If I had that thing, if I bought that app for my computer, I would be happy. If I bought that game, I would be happy. If I could get on this team, I would be happy. If I could achieve this degree in school, I would be happy. If I could have a better house, then I would be happy. If I had certain other things in the world, then I would be happy." Because Satan says, if you have stuff, you'll be happy. And that's very deceptive. And most of the world is living after that deceptive mantra. A second deceptive message we hear today is this phrase, "I have the right to control my body." Folks who are promoting abortion use that image or that mantra to defend the position of destroying the unborn. Abortion for convenience is just wrong. Abortion for convenience is just wrong. Everyone's life is sacred. Everyone has a unique DNA. In fact, the front of your bulletin talks about every soul that God created is precious in the sight of God. You have a DNA that's unique to you. You know what DNA stands for, don't you? Deoxyribonucleic acid, young people. I got it. I was challenged by the students to say deoxyribonucleic acid, and I got it right. Now I get it wrong the rest of the week. I do not own my body. God owns my body. God owns my soul. And the life that I live is sacred. The soul that I bear is sacred unto God. And when I have the idea that I have the right to my body, then we begin to be going down a road and a path of what's right for me instead of what's right for God and what's right for others. Another deceptive message Satan uses behind that door is, "Nobody will know. Nobody will know." I was down in Louisiana during Christmas break. I went to see a friend of mine who works at the Delta Tire Store, and they put out these calendars. Now, these calendars all have cars, classic automobiles, on each monthly page. And my sister-in-law wanted three copies, so I went there to get a copy, and A.L. is still there selling tires. A.L. handed me the three calendars, and he said, "You know what, Tommy?" He said, "Some things have gotten better in this world." I said, "What do you mean, A.L.?" He said, "You remember in the old days when we had calendars and we had cars, there was always a scanty-clad woman on that car, on that advertisement." Well, he doesn't put any scad anybody on his calendars. And he said, "You know, some things have gotten better, haven't they?" And I said, "A.L., I appreciate your witness." And then he said, "Do you remember the first time you ever saw a Playboy magazine?" And I thought, man, this guy's getting serious. And he's getting close. Where are you going with this, A.L.? He said, "I'll never forget the first time I saw a Playboy magazine." He said, "I was just a boy in school, and I tried to hide it, and I hid it under the mattress of my bed." And he said, "My sister found it." And she said, after she found it, she took it to our mother. And he said, "I've never been so embarrassed in all my life." Well, folks, that's where pornography leads you. You see, just like the devil operates by deception and darkness, pornography is the same thing. In fact, the term pornography is built on two words. Pornos means evil. Graphic means pictures, words. Graphic, writing, evil pictures. And Satan uses the internet. Internet comes looking for you. You don't even have to go looking for it. The internet comes to you, and through that internet, Satan says, "Look at this, look at this, look at this." And you begin to look at more, and you begin to look at more. And first thing you know, you're looking way too long and too much. Evil pictures. These are some of the deceptive ways and messages that Satan uses to trick us into this door passage that leads to death. And even after we choose the other door, we've already chosen Jesus and we've chosen to follow Him, there are other doors that will open, and Satan says, "Nobody will ever know. I have the right to this and I have a right to that." And other such messages that are deceptive. So as a believer following Jesus, you still got doors to choose. And he said, "If you'll follow me every time, you'll live a life worth celebrating. Now let me ask you. You may not be on drugs today, but many people are fighting it in our families, in our homes. A recent survey by Lifeway found that 2/3 of pastors out of 1,000 pastors that were surveyed said that in their church there is a family member in their congregation who's personally affected by the opioid addiction and abuse that we're dealing with today. And it's overwhelming in our nation. It's overwhelming in our city. I used to think these things only happened in Louisville, and if I could move to the country, I could get away from it. No. Opioid addiction is everywhere, and people are dying every day because of that horrible evil that has taken over the most innocent of people. That's how Satan operates. He comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. You may not be addicted to alcohol, but you may be tempted to try it, or you're testing yourself. You may not be addicted to the internet. You may not be addicted to the cell phone or to the Facebook, or like me, addicted to food. Man, I love coconut pie. I love fried chicken. I love a Coke Cola. I love everything that ain't healthy for me. And I have to, amen's right. I agree with you, brother. And every day I have to decide, am I eating to live or living to eat? There's so many things since we've been in the Garden of Eden that Satan is using to tempt those who've chosen the door to the sheepfold, Jesus Christ. And every day we have to say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you to be my Lord and my Savior. Because folks, God uniquely created you and me. Your body belongs to the Lord. The Bible says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Every DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, that's in your body belongs to God. Your mind belongs to God. Your thoughts, the Bible says, take every thought captive for Christ. Folks, your nephesh, that's your soul, that's the Hebrew word for God, breathed upon you and you became a living soul, a living being. You belong to God. Are you wise enough today, even as a follower of Jesus and a believer in Jesus Christ, are you wise enough today to see those deceptions of the devil? Jesus was ministering in the temple here. In chapter 9, he went to the temple, and these Pharisees, Jesus said, they couldn't hear God, they couldn't see the activity of God, and yet they knew more about the Bible than anybody in town. And Jesus said, you're blind, and not only blind, but you're mute, you can't hear, and because of that, you don't believe, you don't follow me as the Messiah. I wonder, is there a habit, is there an activity that you're involved in right now? Think about it, believer. Is there an activity or habit that you're involved in right now that's the wrong door to choose? Well, let's talk about the second part of this passage, and this is where I get excited. First part is about the role of Satan and the door that he offers that leads to death and destruction. And the second part of verse 10 is about the door that Jesus is leading believers through every day, another wonderful opportunity and a door to live for him. I came that they may have life and might have it more abundantly. Let me pause here and help us understand what this passage is saying, these few words right here. This word life in the Bible, Zoe, anybody here named Zoe? Yeah, this word Zoe means life, simply. Now, when he says abundant life, that's not just one word. You're going to have abundant life. That's not what it says. It says you can have super excessively, abundantly more beyond what you could ever imagine life. That's what he's saying. Remember last Sunday we talked about the wedding in Cana. Remember we talked about the grace of God, that where Jesus turned 180 gallons of the best wine they have ever tasted, water into wine. And it was more, it was super abundantly more than they could enjoy or consume. And after the sermon last Sunday, I thought, you know, they put wine in wineskins. I wonder if they had enough to-go wineskins that people could take it home with them. You know, we got to-go boxes today. There were no to-go wineskins. There was just more than they could handle. And folks, that's what Jesus is offering to all of us today as we continue to walk through the doors of opportunity that Jesus gives us. Let me share with you three of those doors. One is the door of service. What opportunities are we looking at Akron Baptist Church? Opportunities to serve the Lord. Opportunities to minister to the community that's around us. Steve, we had an awesome block party back in September, I think it was. And we had a great time ministering to the community around us. I read an article by Ed Stetzer down there at Lifeway. He's not there anymore, but he used to be. He said, remember that in every community there's brokenness. And there's people here today that you're broken on the inside, or some of you are just beginning to break again. And we need to be the kind of church that ministers to our community where there's so much brokenness. It may be the opioid crisis. It may be someone who's made a bad choice and is living with the guilt and the shame of that. It could be all kinds of brokenness in relationships with other people. How are we sensitive to those folks that are broken where I live at home, where my church is at Ekron, where, that's how the weatherman says it, Ekron. How am I paying attention to these people? How am I ministering to these people? There's so many opportunities around us to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, come on up to the Beehive today and be there at 2 o'clock or show up here at 1:30 and minister to people who cannot get out. Cannot get out. One day I may be at Beehive. And I would love it if somebody came along and said, let's sing some songs you remember. Let's sing some songs that you remember. Vacation Bible School is coming up this summer. We're looking at an opportunity to go and have another block party at West Point. I'm not sure I'm pointing to West Point, but wherever it is, we got an opportunity there. We're going to ask you to get involved with helping it around with the facilities here. There's all kinds of ways that you can serve the Lord. That's a door of opportunity that the Father is opening for us. Ed Stetzer said one time, a church that has no room for the broken, a church that has no room for the broken, a church that has no room for the broken is a broken church. There's a door of sacredness, and that's a whole sermon series, just that one word. Every soul is sacred, folks, and so is yours. And we need to address every soul with respect. We need to address every soul, regardless of color, regardless of lifestyle, regardless of choices that they have made. Every soul is sacred in the eyes of God. We've heard that a lot. We need to respect them. We need to be compassionate toward them. We need to be kind. But you also need to be compassionate and respectful and kind to yourself, to your soul. I'm beginning to discover that a lot of us are going through life, and I'm one of them, that we're hearing messages that shame and blame. One of the reasons I dread going back home to visit family and friends, I went to the barbershop this last time, and the first story they told there was some antics I pulled in that barbershop when I was shining shoes as a kid in school. And I was embarrassed. And that's the way the devil is. He never lets you forget. And those messages you grew up with at home are still with you as an adult, and they're self-defeating messages. Please be as compassionate and respectful with your own soul, believer, as you want to be to other people as well. The door of sacredness. The last one I will call the door of surrender. Surrender to the Word of God. Keep it here so it will be the authority in your life. Remember what Mary said to the servants at the wedding in Cana? After she and Jesus had that little discussion about what do we do with this problem of wine running out at the wedding? It's the most shameful thing that can happen at a wedding, because weddings in those days was a community event. It wasn't just families getting together. The whole community came. And you had enough wine for everybody, see? And then they run out. And Mary and Jesus have this conversation about what to do next. And after that conversation, Mary, the mother of the family, the head of the family, because Joseph's not there any longer, she said, do whatever he tells you to do. And when they did what Jesus told them to do, they had more than they could contain. And I'm telling you, if you'll do what Jesus tells you to do, if you'll have that posture of surrender in your life as you've already walked through the door of belief, and you just keep that posture of humility and surrender to Jesus Christ and do what he tells you to do, you will live a life of no regrets. You will live a life that when you breathe your last, they will celebrate you. So every day, you make those choices. Choose to serve. Choose to respect the sacred in others and yourself. and choose to surrender and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. Will you bow your heads together? Our Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, the Word of God that brings conviction about what we're to do next. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that gives us guidance and direction and helps us to make choices that we can celebrate and say, boy, I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I followed Jesus. I'm glad I listened to Jesus today. But there may be believers here that need to set aside every weight and a sin that's besetting us and say, Lord, help me not to walk through that door anymore, but to walk through the doors that you're leading me through this week that will bring glory to you. And I can say to in my last breath, I'm glad I did it. I'm praying for unbelievers, Lord, here today that need to step through that first door of faith. And I pray they will come. And come now while we sing this song. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.